Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. If you guys are just joining us, Olivia and I are taking this culinary journey along the Gulf Shores and Orange Beach area of Alabama. And this is a culinary experience, really, when you're visiting Gulf Shores. And Olivia, I mean, I had some great dinners there, some really good food there. But I must say, one of the highlights was the dinner on the last night.
Well, I'm sure it was good if you were there. And we've already learned that it's a really talented and creative area. So tell us more about it.
Well, it was truly a highlight. Chef Chris Sherrill, who is the owner at Salt Restaurant in Orange Beach, is all about getting away from those heavy fried seafood baskets or fried shrimp, the thing that we love, to a more kind of that center of the plate grilled fish from the coastal Alabama area. So really some very creative things. And he really, you know, shared with me how after Hurricane Ivan, new chefs came to the area bringing more of this kind of creative, I guess maybe a little bit more healthy cuisine. And chefs moved from some of the larger cities and they brought along with them that kind of more, you know, I don't know if we'd say sophisticated, but a different taste or a different palate with them. And I talked with him about a lot of different things, but I want to share with you what he talked about sustainability, conservation, really food cultivation, our responsibility around that, and cooking wild game. So take a listen.
So my background being in wild game, I hunted as a child and harvested my own food, ate everything that we killed, and it was really cool because you have a better knowledge. I think it's more so that when you take the life of something or you harvest something personally and you watch it grow, you want to use it and you want to use it to the best of your ability and put your absolute love and passion into cooking it. And so that plays true to anything that we do here in the restaurant. But it also allows me to do dynamic things. Tonight we served you guys an oyster drill that is an invasive species that eats oysters. And nobody's even got them on their radar, and we're harvesting them, and we're serving them, and people are liking them. So that's fun for me. And that goes back to the wild game background or the harvesting or foraging for my own food. So wild game, yes. One thing, it's a health. Many health conscious people are so in tune to the health benefits of wild game. It's very lean. It's very flavorful. It's very wild. And people love that. They want to, I mean, I watch so many people now that may not hunt, but they want venison for their freezer to cook at home. And that's really cool. You know, I grew up in a football-loving city and a football-loving state and a football-loving family. And it was only natural that I played high school football and was pretty good at it and wanted to play on the college level. I didn't know that there was life outside of football in a small town, Alabama. My senior year separated my entire spinal column, and as an impressionable young 17-year-old kid, I didn't know what was next because I always thought I'd play college ball. I would go to college on maybe a scholarship and then go for something, who knew what. But interesting, I always loved to cook, and cooked for a lot of friends. I cooked at parties. I'd cook dinner for my girlfriend's parents in high school. And I had a good friend that also had a football injury on the college level. And when I went through the depression of realizing I couldn't play football anymore, he really helped me through that and said, you know, maybe there's a career for you being a chef. And maybe you could go to culinary school. And I didn't even know where to begin to go to culinary school. And my mother helped out a lot. She inquired about best culinary schools. And at the time, Emeril Lagasse, which everyone knows about now, 20 years ago, Emeril Food Network hadn't happened yet, at least in our markets. And Emeril Lagasse sent me a message, and he said, I understand you're an enthusiastic high school student, and Johnson & Wales University would be a great place for you to further your education, and why don't you look into it? And I looked into it, and the cost was astronomical. I'll never forget, I think to the tune of, gosh, at the time maybe 25 grand, 30 grand a year to go to Johnson & Wales. And so my parents really couldn't afford it, and I looked into scholarships, and I found a high school recipe contest that was only open to high school seniors, and I entered it, and I won a scholarship to Johnson & Wales University, and that was really cool. using wild game. That was all I knew how to cook was wild game. I'd grown up going to what we call roadkill parties, and while that may sound weird, it really wasn't roadkill, but it was wild game that a bunch of farmers got together and enjoyed each other's company and cooked wild game. So I learned how to cook venison and quail and doves and duck at a very early age. Did not realize that it would be so important to my life later on. And it blends perfectly. Now that I live down here in coastal Alabama, I still hunt quite a bit, but it's the same principle. You go out and you harvest your fish, you know where they come from, you see the fishermen, you work with the commercial fishermen, and those guys go out and work really hard to harvest your fish. And just like hunting, you want to make sure you use every aspect of that fish. You want to make sure that you put your passion and heart into cooking that fish. It's just not industrialized, and that's what's important to me.
Well, I mean, it just definitely sounds like when you're closer and more connected to your food source, you do have more of a commitment to making it be something more than just something that you're eating.
But let me tell you a story about that. I went to Cabo Verde, Africa, back in July of this year, and it was an ambassador trip, a culinary trip to help promote that country's tourism and food scene, and I was honored to be a part of it. And I was only one of four chefs in the whole world, one from America, one from Brazil, not in Brazil, excuse me, one from Portugal, one from China, and one from Cabo Verde, Africa. And we went out to a local farm, and I'll never forget it. The landscape was very rocky and very hard to grow produce in. And I wanted some green onions, some scallions. And we went out to this farm that grew them, and this very nice old man went and took us out to his farm. And this green onion, I'll never forget it, had grown up and around a rock. So it had grown out of the ground, come out the other side of this rock, and grown around the rock. And I thought to myself, you know, if I'm going to harvest something like that and use that in a dish, I've got to use every single aspect of that green onion because it tried so hard to become, you know, a usable item. And I take that for granted sometimes in the hustle and bustle of this restaurant or restaurants before. You bring in produce, you chop it, you use it. You may not use all of it, and a lot of people throw it away. And it changed my mentality. And I said, you know, if we can get a second use, we can get 100% use out of what we first get, and maybe a second use, then we're doing our part. And that's important to me.
So, Olivia, you can see, I mean, a very, very interesting chef. He and his wife, you know, they have a really great restaurant there with some really good cuisine. And as I mentioned, you know, going into the conversation with him, it's really about, you know, these creative dishes where they're looking at things other than just that stuff we love. I mean, I still want my fried shrimp, though. I mean, I really do.
Oh, of course.
But when we were there, we had things like scallop. He even cooked beef for us. He is also doing some creative things around the, I guess you would call them like a snail, that bore into the oysters, which presents a huge problem for the oyster farms there. But he's making a dish out of that. We had a chance to sample that. I think they're called drillers. And, oh, wow, I mean, just so many good things that they're doing there. Great desserts. So when you are in Orange Beach, down visiting the Gulf Shores, you definitely want to go and check out Salt. And ask for Chef Chris, see if he's there that night. And make sure and take a photo with him. He's very friendly, loves to come and tell his story and talk about food in the region. Because the region really, really is just bursting with great cuisine. You want to go down there and try it.
And as we've talked about, it's a diverse area. There's lots of different ecosystems. So it's exciting to think about that, coupled with really talented, innovative people who really care about the area.
Absolutely. Really care about the area. And then when you shift it over to the cuisine side of it, really care about the way that they are producing food, the way that they are presenting the food. At the oyster cook-off, I mean, it was great to see all of the different ways that people were preparing oysters. And it wasn't just fried oysters. As a matter of fact, very few people had fried oysters. But those who did, they were good.
They were top-notch.
They were top notch. I had some of those too. I had about 15 tickets in my booklet, and I used all of my tickets and then also used some other folks' tickets too. So I had my share of oysters, but it was great having dinner on the last night at Salt with Chef Chris. Now, you guys sit tight, because when we come back, we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to do our quarter miles, and you guys have to wait and see which state we're going to, but it's not too far from Alabama. It's still down in the southern region of the U.S. Now, today's show is brought to you by the Sapelo Island Beach Vacations, another great place to go for great seafood, another great area to go for a beach, and hey, just having a little bit of fun. I love that. And we'll be back in a few minutes here on Travel Bags with Anita and friends.
I'm Alabama bound, don't want no heebie-jeebies hanging around. Just gave the meanest ticket man on earth, whoa, all I'm worth, to plant my tootsies in an upper berth, to hear that choo-choo sound. I know that soon we're gonna cover ground, so I will shout it so the world can know, here I go, I'm Alabama.